Did it record last Sunday, Brother Tom?
It did.
Okay. Well, this is today, the 28th day of June, 2015, Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. You know, it used to be that the whole world went by Anno Domini in the year of our Lord. There was a time when most all of the world was had Christianity preached in it, and in a large part believed, even though much of it may have been notional or historical, you can call it belief. There was the principles of Christianity were taught, and morality was greatly improved in the world because of the Christian faith being taught, and the Ten Commandments being believed, and that was what was good. And when this nation was first formed and started, and the cross was planted on the eastern shore, they were taught morality. They were taught that Jesus Christ died for our sins. And this nation became a great nation because it feared God and believed Jesus Christ was our Savior. We flew from other places that would not let us worship our God. And we come to a place where we could freely worship God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And God blessed us. And over the last many years, we have rejected God. We have rejected His Word. We have rejected all that's good. And in 2 Timothy, the first and the second chapters, we're going to look at the reason why this nation has fallen to what it is. Our Supreme Court of the land, the United States, has agreed with the rest of the sodomites of the United States in saying that it is not only okay, but that I, as a minister of the gospel, if asked by those sodomites, must marry them or go to jail. I do not know what is to become of us. But I do know that what Brother Thomas just got through preaching is the truth. And that God's will be done regardless. And in Psalms, I can't remember where, Brother Thomas may remember, maybe Psalm 22:10 or somewhere in there, it says that the wrath of man praises God and the rest He restrains. That means just what Thomas was talking about there in Acts chapter 4, where by the determinate counsel of God, that the Lord Jesus was delivered by the hands of evil men. It was God's will that Jesus be delivered by evil men. And the Bible says He directs the steps of the wicked. He don't put it in their heart, for He'll have nothing to do with that wickedness. But He certainly directs their steps to bring about His will.
Amen.
I don't want to make some blasphemous statement, as I've heard some say, about if God don't do something to this country, He has to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. But it certainly appears that we're at that state, that God's wrath will have to be poured out upon this nation because of our killing of unborn children and for us winking at sodomy and not standing up against it. Because we're afraid we might lose our position, or we may be cast down, or we may be talked about or thought about as crazy or whatever else. Noodle backbone preachers won't preach against sin and adultery and sodomy and fornication and lying and stealing, and because they're afraid they'll lose their jobs. I still blame the preachers. I blame the preachers for the results of this nation being what it is. But at the same time, it's the sorry people sitting in the pews that want to hear that noodle backbone trash is the reason the preachers preach it. They flock to hear that weak piece of message that they have to preach. They feel the buildings where those men are preaching such trash and such false doctrine. The very thing that Paul tells Timothy, you beware of.
Right.
And let's read it. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, we're going to read the first two chapters. I'm not trying to fall in Brother Thomas Ray's footprints here and read chapters at the time. But as I was reading that this week, I thought, you know, some of these folks may not have read this in its entirety. And chapter 2 is a continuation of chapter 1, because you see in chapter 2 he says, "Thou therefore," which means I'm continuing from chapter 1. So in verse 1 of chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, we read, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." "Whereunto I am appointed a preacher, and an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and in love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom is Phugelos and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for the masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some of honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be of honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Our God, we thank you for the reading of your word today, and pray your mercy and blessings upon it, that it be beneficial to your people, to the elect of God, those both saved and converted and those not. Have mercy upon us today, O Lord, we pray. Help your servant as he tries to feed your sheep, feed your lambs. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I know that's a good bit of reading there, even though it's not that long. And but I thought important for us to get the message that Paul is trying to tell Timothy. You say, well, he's talking to a preacher. Yeah, he is talking to a preacher. He's talking to a young preacher that he sent to Ephesus. He had already sent him to Philippi, and already had sent him to Thessalonica, and had already sent him to Corinth, and then he sent him to Ephesus. Not as the pastor or the overseer, I don't think, because Brother Thomas just read this morning where that those overseers and the people of the church of Ephesus met Paul over there, and he had prayer with them, and that's what he said about them. That you being their overseers of the church, and told him what to do. So, but it did appear that he put him there at Ephesus to watch and make sure that these false teachers, especially, I don't remember if his name is Alexander, there's another one named over in 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy, maybe chapter 2 there, I'm not going to spend my time looking for it, but there was another. There is Alexander, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander. And here in 2 Timothy, he mentions this. The dictionary said call him Phugalos. It looked like Phygelus to me, but the dictionary said call him Phugalos and Hermangnas. These three that were teaching false doctrines, and they had erred from the truth, and they were teaching things contrary to what had been revealed to Paul and to the other apostles. They were preaching things different than the Lord Jesus preached them, and Paul gives him warning about letting this go on. To put a stop to it. Not only to avoid it, but let him know that this false teaching, this erring from the doctrines of Christ, is like a disease. It's like gangrene, that word canker means. It's worse than cancer. It'll take off the limbs, and if it's not tended to, it'll bring about death. It's a destructive force. It'll destroy the whole church if you don't put a stop to it, if you don't cut off this false doctrine that's being taught. You say, well, they were only teaching that the resurrection was past already. I don't know about you, but I plan on going to heaven. Amen. I plan on rising from the dead. And if I'm not going to rise from the dead, if I'm not going to heaven when I die, this whole religion is in vain. What am I doing? And why am I preaching? And why am I even attending church and praying to God if I'm just going to lay in the grave for an eternity? The resurrection is very vital to what we believe and what we teach and what the Lord Jesus taught. He rose from the dead. He said, if I live, you'll live also. Forever. I'll see God face to face one day. I'll be with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, the Bible says. Not as these men were teaching, probably that, well, you know, you carry on through your descendants, or you enter a body down the line somewhere. You are whatever they call it. Such false doctrine is like a cancer. It's like a gangrene. It just leads to more, what did he call it? Ungodliness. And this easy believism that they started preaching way back yonder, I guess in the 1800s maybe. Well, it actually goes back further than that, but here in the United States it sure enough started in the 1800s, of this easy believism, this altar call, won't you accept Jesus, make a decision for Christ, and the idea was that you've got the power to believe, do a work. You can believe on your own. You've got the will to believe or not to believe. And if you will to believe, then you can be saved. And Brother Thomas did an excellent job on explaining that very thing. That it's got nothing to do with your ability to believe. It's got everything to do with the power of God regenerating you from a dead man to a live man and giving you faith to believe. Belief is like those evil men that God used to kill His Son. It's just the vehicle that God uses to bring you to salvation. He used those evil men to kill His Son that He might bring us to salvation. And that's all belief is. But they've twisted the meaning of the words, and they've got half-truths by reading a little scripture here and taking a little scripture there and taking a little scripture here. And that's the reason he says, study. And this second chapter, verse 15, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. That word study means to labor. Not just to pick it up and read every now and then.
Amen.
And he's not just talking to preachers.
Amen.
Every believer is to study the scriptures, because it is your job to make sure that what I'm preaching is the truth. Not just preaching what it says right here, but that what I'm preaching is the whole counsel of God. From Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. There is a truth there. And that's the reason he says, rightly dividing the word of truth. Because it's not for the world to see. Lost people can read it, but they can't understand it spiritually. Because they are spiritually dead. And they don't know God. They don't know the Holy Spirit. They don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. They may know a little something about them, but they don't know them as Abba Father.
Amen.
And they don't understand spiritual things. They've never been made alive. They're dead in their trespasses and sins, separated from God. Alienated from Him, and they cannot come to Him. Now, I've about had a bait of these easy believers and preachers that have destroyed this nation. They have destroyed churches of people who could have been hearing the truth. You say, well, preacher, you see how it is here. They won't come. They won't come. If you don't preach what they want to hear, they won't come. That's exactly what Paul's telling Timothy to do. You preach the truth and don't you err from it. Don't you change it. You avoid vain babblings and profane things, because they lead unto more ungodliness. It's going to continue to grow and grow. Look at our nation, people. A blind man on a loping mule can see what's happened to us and why it's happened. We kick God out of everything that we had, and we sit by and let Him do it. And now we're in a fix, people. I'm telling you, we're in a fix. I'm talking about true born-again believers that will not compromise with the world and with the government or with anybody else. We're in a fix. If our state don't do something about it, preachers like me and Brother Thomas and Brother John, Jim Barber, and many others, we're in a fix. You see, they make laws so they can put up behind bars the people that cause trouble and the people that preach against ungodliness and sodomy and adultery and fornication and lying and stealing and murders.
We're in a fix. Now,
let's go back and look a little bit at what some of the things that Paul had to say here to Timothy. Now Timothy at this time, I believe, was at Ephesus. This was probably written around 55 A.D. And Timothy's still a young man. You see, one good thing about Timothy was that he was brought up in a Christian home, or what we would call a Christian home. He was brought up in a home where the Word of God was taught. His grandma had the true faith of God given unto her, just like you and I had the true faith of God given unto us. And his mother, Eunice, had the same faith given unto her, just like the same faith was given unto us. John 6:44, Jesus said, "No man can come unto me except it were given to him of my Father. Except my Father draw him." You go look up that word draw. It actually, it's akin to the word that says drag. You know what they did? You know how you draw water up out of a well, don't you? And they changed the meaning of that. These preachers today act like God's drawing you by wooing you and you sweet darlings. Won't you please come because I just love you so much and you're so pretty and all. And won't you just please come? And he's drawing you that way. He's drawing you up like water. Out of the well. Bringing you right where he wants you to be. God's a sovereign God and he doeth as he pleases.
Amen.
He's not wooing nobody. After you're converted, you're wooed. After you're converted and you see the love of Christ, you're humbled. And you bow before him. After you've been regenerated and you see that you're a filthy, dead sinner, wretched in your sins, you see the Savior. Okay, let's go. Look here. Now Paul says, "I thank God whom I'm served from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day." Well, there's a sermon in itself. He was praying for this young preacher whom he got when he went through this town and was preaching, and they introduced him to Timothy. He took Timothy with him, and the bond between them became so much. You see how he addresses him, "My beloved son," is what he calls him. And he knew and was comfortable that Timothy had been sitting under his preaching enough that he could send him to Philippi and Thessalonica and Corinth and to Ephesus to be sure that the true counsel of God, the whole counsel of God, was being preached. And that if it wasn't, Timothy could do something about it. That's the confidence in the preaching that Timothy had heard under Paul's ministry. That's the reason he told Timothy in another place there, he said, lay hands on no man quickly. He means don't ordain no man quickly into the ministry to preach the gospel, or else you'll end up with a Hymenaeus and Philemon, whatever his name is, I'm going to call him Phugalos, it's easier. Matter of fact, the way I spelled it was F-O-O, G-O-L-O-S-S. Loss. Because that's the way I see him. As a fuga loss. And Hermogenes. You'll end up with fellows like them that err from preaching the truth if they don't sit under sound preaching. Timothy sat under sound preaching. But one of the things that we see here is that Paul was praying for him night and day. They give you an idea. Now, how conformed are you to the image of his dear son? Are you praying for the ministers of the gospel night and day? Do you see the importance of praying for the ministers of the gospel night and day? that they have time to study and prepare themselves, that they may be able to feed the sheep and the lambs with the whole counsel of God. Because if they don't, and they get off into some error from the faith, from the doctrine, that it'll eat like a cancer and worse, like gangrene. It's very destructive and leads to more ungodliness, because once you leave the truth and head out down that road, it just gets worse and worse and worse. Well, look where we're at today, folks. And I'll guarantee you there's not many Baptist churches, and certainly not any Methodist churches. They've got, I'm not sure what kind of Methodist churches it is, United Congregation, I don't know which one of them allows sodomite preachers in their church, but one of them, or maybe both of them, I don't know. I guarantee you there's very few, if any, Baptist churches this morning that are preaching against what the Supreme Court just did and saying that sodomites have the right to be married all over this nation, and that no state can do anything about it, that it's a constitutional right that they have. But it's a sin and an abomination against God, and I will not marry them. And I hadn't decided yet whether I'll go peacefully to jail or not. Count of some sodomite. Now, but he's praying night and day for the ministers of the gospel, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears. I don't know what he's talking about there. Brother Thomas May, he may enlighten me later, but it appears that Paul had been around Timothy when he was weeping. I don't know what far, don't know when. It may be in 1 Timothy there that he had gotten word about. It appears from the writing, when you read the book of 1 and 2 Timothy, it appears that Timothy was having some troubles. Some that Paul might have been a little concerned about him keeping the faith and standing strong. So Timothy might have been crying a little bit about what Paul had put him in. This situation that Paul had put him in there at Ephesus with these false teachers, I'm not sure. But it might have been that when Paul was preaching the gospel, that it moved Timothy and he wept. When I die, they may put on my tombstone the weeping preacher. I don't care. I'm still a man. But I'm moved by Christian people who truly love the Lord and will not compromise with the world. We cannot compromise with the world. That I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. Unfeigned, that means without hypocrisy. There's no hypocrisy. This is not a profession of faith. This is true faith that is in Timothy, just like that was in his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. And Paul says, I know it was in you also. I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. He's talking about when he was ordained to preach the gospel. You stir up that gift of God of preaching the gospel. Just because you're young and these other men seem to be psychologists or something and educated, and they've got something to do about them, hadn't got anything to do with anything. The Word of God is still the Word of God. And that's what he tells him over there. I'm bound, but the Word of God is not bound. It's of no private interpretation. It says what it says, and it means what it says. And I can read it just as good as any other man. But he tells Timothy to study it, to labor in the truth, to labor in it, that you might be approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, not just preaching what's easy and not what's preaching that'll get people to come in. You preach the whole counsel of God. You preach the truth. And if you can't preach the truth, preachers, shut up and get out. I pray God strikes you down, takes your voice away from you, or cuts your throat. Shut your mouth. Preach the truth. You're destroying this nation. Tell them what the Bible says. Tell them the whole counsel of God about how a man is saved from his sins. That he has to repent, turn from his sins, and serve the living God. And if you say you're saved and you hadn't done that, you're a liar. And the truth's not in you. You're yet in your sins, bound for hell. You see, people don't want to hear that. Church members as a whole in these modern day churches, they don't want to hear that. It convicts them. Oh, they'll get mad about it. They'll run the preacher off. Somebody told me that preacher down there at McGee, where his name's no longer on the sign anymore as pastor, that's what happened to him. He told them the truth and they couldn't handle it. And I don't mean the truth like I tell you the truth. I mean, he was probably preaching against sin, adultery, fornication maybe, and sodomy. And I know there's adultery and fornication in that building. So, they couldn't handle it. They don't want to hear that. They want to live in their sins. Well, Brother Thomas said it good after church last Sunday. He said they just want a ticket to heaven to miss hell. They don't want to go to hell. They still want their sin. They still want to live their life. They want to still live worldly lives. Now, I'm going to tell you something else, folks. The government has made it so that it seems impossible for women to be keepers of the home. It's not impossible. You can't have as much worldly things as you would like with women being keepers of the home, but it's not impossible for women to be the keepers of the home. Now, don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. The Bible says, women, you be the keepers of the home.
Amen.
And you men, quit ye like men. Act like men. If you're a man, be a man. Rule your house. Well, shoot. I didn't even get to my notes yet. Anyway, tell Timothy, stir up the gift of God to send you. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and a sound mind. You see what he's telling Timothy? These men may have scared you a little bit, Timothy. You may be a little fearful of them, but God has not given us that spirit. Amen. He's given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. You don't get no plainer and no sounder than the Word of God. You just tell them, thus saith the Word of God. You can get away with it then. If I try to put it in my own words or tell you what my opinion is or what I think, that's one thing. But if I tell you the Bible says, what are you going to do? I didn't write it. And he's telling him, don't be scared of these men. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. There's afflictions that come with preaching the gospel, and there's afflictions that come with being a true born-again believer and testifying of the truth of the gospel. There's afflictions that come with it. Matter of fact, over there in that other place where he tells him about the same thing, that's actually what it means. Where he says there, where he tells him to endure hardness, That actually means, that word hardness there actually means evil. Endure the evil that's going to come upon you for preaching the gospel. as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Christian people don't entangle themselves with the things of this life and the things of this world. We separate ourselves from the world because the world is the enemy of God's. And we must separate ourselves from the world and worldly things. Don't be ashamed of me, he said, or the Lord Jesus Christ, or the testimony of the Lord, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now there's the gospel in a nutshell.
Amen.
You see, the gospel goes from Genesis to Revelation. It's all in there. It's taught in there. Brother Thomas has been bringing out the portion of it of the imputation of the righteousness of Christ to believers and justification. All of these doctrines that the Lord Jesus taught and the apostles taught and that were taught in the Old Testament as well, not as clear as they were after the coming and the death and the burial and resurrection and the ascension of Christ. But they were taught. There's the Trinity of the persons. It's important for every believer to understand that and to know it and be able to tell other people about it. How that the Father, Son, and the Spirit and their proper deity and their part of the Godhead, their distinct personalities of each one of them, that there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
That's a doctrine that we believe and hold and is vital to our religion.
Amen.
And we all need to know it. Concerning the everlasting love of God the Father, Son, and the Spirit. Concerning the elect of God. That's another doctrine that we need to know and understand and be able to tell other people about. And it's right here in 1 Timothy. In 2 Timothy 1:9, is it? 2 Timothy 1:9. Who hath saved us? He didn't make a way where I could be saved. He saved me.
Amen.
He turned me. He broke my heart. And I'm so thankful that He did. He humbled me. He drew me up like water out of a well in a bucket, poured me out. And said, there you go, boy. And then after he saved me and I wandered off out there yonder, he broke my leg and put me in the bed and said, now come on back. He's a loving God. And what does he do? He saved us and called us with a holy calling. We didn't come on our own. We didn't come because we was afraid we was going to go to hell. We come because He led us right where He wanted us to be when the gospel was preached. You think you just accidentally fell upon it? Well, you didn't. Paul didn't accidentally get on the road to Damascus. He went right the very steps that he was supposed to go to meet Jesus. He wasn't looking for Him, but he met Him anyway, didn't he? And so does every other believer. Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace. It's all according to God's will, according to His own purpose that He saves us. And that's what He said. I'm just reading what's in the book. Now why can't other people read that and see it? Because it's the Spirit of God that enlightens the Scriptures to a man. The Spirit of God enlightens them. Illuminates them for them so that they can see. Or blinds them so that they cannot. It's the Spirit of God that does that. Well, I guess I ought to stop here. I'm going to run over this real quickly. The covenant of grace, that's another doctrine. our personal and eternal election in Christ and His being the surety for us. That's a doctrine. The state and the condition of men's from the fall of Adam through sin, or from sin, how we are depraved totally and can't come to Christ. That's a doctrine that needs to be taught. That we're spiritually dead and incapable of coming to God. Our particular redemption in Christ Jesus our Lord is a doctrine. You can find that in John 10 or many other places. Right here in 2 Timothy 1:9 you can find it. Satisfaction for sin by His sacrifice. Free and full pardon by His blood. Justification by His imputed righteousness. Regeneration and sanctification by the powerful and efficacious grace of the Spirit of God. Yes. That saves a man. All these are doctrines that Paul is telling Timothy, don't you err from these. These are all very important scriptures and doctrines and forms of doctrines that need to be preached. Even the right words used when they're preached. We'll stop there for today and take up the same place Lord's Day next, if the Lord's willing. Brother Pappy, would you ask the Lord's blessings on us?
Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for Your Son. Lord, I thank You for the work of God at Calvary. Lord, for those elected God that was chosen.
Yes.
I thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to be here, the desire to be here.